I admit, I got a little excited at the end of yesterday's show. I went a little fast. I apologize for that. I'm going to wind it back a little here today on this Wednesday edition of the Revelation series. Welcome, everyone, to the Revelation series. I, Martin Zender, am very concerned for those at the Great White Throne, because many of my loved ones will be there, and my hated ones will be there. But I love my hated ones as well. But now, if Scripture says that they all go to the second death, the lake of fire, which is the second death, Revelation 20:14, I'm going to give you in the near future, like maybe next week, the most exhaustive study of the second death you've ever had. And if you come away from my study not knowing about the second death, it ain't going to be my fault. So, I have no fear of the second death, not even for those who are going to the second death, because I, Martin Zender, know what death is. I have the secret. I know what it is. You want the secret right now? You want the secret? You want to know what death is? Which one? Oh, you want to know what the first and the second death is? All right. The first death and the second death are the same things. One just comes first, and the other one comes second. Death is, you ready for this? I'm going to unload on you a giant ball of truth. Death is the absence of life. Where do you get genius commentary like this anywhere else on the internet? As simple as that is, few people believe it. Anyway, lots of people will be at the Great White Throne, the dead, the small, and the great. What happens to them? Now, there is a book of life that is consulted. After everyone has been judged, there's a book of life consulted. Mr. Nock thinks that no one's name is written in that book of life. My question would be, why is it consulted? Now, Mr. A.E. Nock, who I have great respect for, he was the compiler of the Concordant Literal New Testament. He translated it based on the three oldest Greek manuscripts. This is what I hurried over yesterday. We have three ancient manuscripts, some dating as early as the 4th century, that were possibly two or three removed from the originals. That's scary. That's scarily close to the originals. These three manuscripts were used for the translation of the Concordant version. The King James translators had none of these manuscripts in 1611 because they weren't discovered yet. These are more reliable. These three manuscripts are Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Alexandrinus. Two of these three manuscripts use the word judged in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. And they were each judged in accord with their acts. It's neutral. Only one manuscript has down judged. It has the prefix kata before the judge, which is consistently translated condemned, because it's a negative judgment, so it's condemned. They were all condemned. And the Concordant version takes the one reading of Sinaiticus over the majority of the readings from the other two manuscripts, Alexandrinus and Vaticanus. And my question is, why? Now, and I think that A.E. Nock's explanation is a stretch. And I will tell you why I think it's a stretch. I went over this too quickly yesterday, so listen to this. Sinaiticus seems more likely to be right here, and the reason he says that he thinks this one manuscript is correct is because the preceding Greek word kai, K-A-I, which is the connective, it's and, it's a common Greek word, it's what we would translate it A-N-D, may easily lead to the omission of the prefix cat. In other words, Nock is saying that the translators were looking at the translator of Sinaiticus anyway, the one, remember, I got to tell you this, the people translating Sinaiticus, the people writing that manuscript were looking at another manuscript, which could have been the original, I don't know. Could have been one or two removed from the original, which is scarily close to the source. He says they were looking at cat, they were looking at the preceding connective, the word and comes before there, and it might have easily led them to the omission of the prefix cat. So he goes, Knox says they just didn't see the prefix cat because the connective K-A-I came before it, and it's only a difference of one letter, K-A-I, K-A-T, and so they may have been looking at K-A-I, and they may have been looking at K-A-I, yes, and not realize that it was really K-A-T. And so maybe they had not gotten enough sleep the night before, the editor of the other two manuscripts, and they might have easily omitted the cat, thinking that Kai was a substitute for it. I hate to say this, but this is a stretch. It's a bit lame. I'm sorry. I have much respect for A.E. Nock here, but I think this is a stretch. And again, I agree with him when he says this is not the resurrection of life, of, that is, immortality. It is not a vivification. Again, agreed. It is utterly ignored when the apostle recounts the three classes to be made alive. In 1 Corinthians 15, 23, 24, this is what he's referring to. Paul says, as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Christ, the first fruits, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence, thereafter the consummation. And that's when death is abolished. And those are all the people who are vivified. But this is not inconsistent with the text, because I say to you that these other two manuscripts were correct, and that the Book of Life is consulted, and that there are names written here, and these people do not get immortal life. But what if this happens? What if this happens? We know that there is a new heavens and a new earth following the great white throne judgment, and we know that there are trees there. And the trees produce fruit. The trees alongside the river of life in the New Jerusalem produce fruit. And we're going to be getting to this when we get to Revelation chapter 21 or 22. And it says that this fruit, the different fruit every month, is for the healing of the nations. Now, I'm going to get to this in detail, but I'm going to tell you this now because this is beautiful. That word healing, the English elements are warm from. They receive warm from. The nations get warm from. What in the world does that mean? Well, my friends, warmth is life. Someone who dies, a euphemism for death that I always enjoyed was Uncle Joe assumed room temperature. That means he died. He assumed room temperature. That means he no longer has any heat in his body. So warm from, if you're warm, it means you're alive. If you assume room temperature, then you don't have any source of heat from within yourself. So warm from is something that keeps this fruit, keeps the nations alive. So how are people who, or let's say names appear in the Book of Life, what happens to them if they don't go to the second death? Only the bad apples go to the second death. This is my teaching on the matter. And I'm going to quote Nock again and show you how I just don't think this makes sense, what he is saying, that everybody goes to the lake of fire. Nobody's name is written in the Book of Life. The book is consulted as an exercise in futility. They're each condemned in accord with their acts. And if that word is correct, then yes, they all go to the second death. But if that word is incorrect, and if the two manuscripts are correct instead of the one manuscript, and if the translators of the two manuscripts weren't so careless as to mistake Kai for cat, then we have the following scenario, that billions of people who are judged in accord with their acts, and they had good acts, they were decent people, they just didn't have faith, they are translated, they're somehow transferred to the new earth, not as immortals. And this is one of Nock's cases here, that, well, there's nothing said in any other passage about a new category of people made immortal. No one's made immortal at the Great White Throne. I completely agree. No one is made immortal, but they go to the Great White Throne. I mean, they go to the New Earth, Eon number 5, as mortals, and they are kept alive month by month by partaking of the fruits from the tree of life, from the trees that bloom and that produce this fruit and they get warm from. And it says it's for the healing of the nations. So there are many nations on the new earth. Who knows how many? And who knows what they're named? Is it going to be better than Gog and Magog? I'll tell you that. It's going to be more poetic and fluid, nice sounding names like Meliflores, Meliflores, Meliflores. Miraflores is a district in Lima, Peru. It's called Miraflores. And I think it's very elegant. Miraflores. Oh, to live in a Miraflores. It just rolls off the tongue. I'd like to think that that's going to be the name of a nation on the new earth instead of Gog and Magog. Those are the bad boy nations at the end of the millennium. Anyway, so here's billions of people, and it's like you have to, every month now we have to, somehow refresh our bank accounts so that we can continue to pay our bills, our electric bill, our rent, our heating bills. So, better analogy, you have a rechargeable battery. Let's say you own a car, an electric car, and you have to plug the thing in. Let's just take something so simple as our phones. We have to plug these things in, and they die. No matter how great your phone is, it has a battery and it dies. And it starts to die because it's mortal. And so every night you have to plug it in. So in the morning, the battery is refreshed. You get another 24 hours of life. Likewise, those folks whose names are written in the Book of Life go to the New Earth and they are mortals. So the death process is still operating in them, but death is no more. Remember? There is no more death, no more tears, no more crying, no more anguish on the new earth. Nobody's dying anymore. But how can that be, Martin, if you're telling me there are mortals? Okay, they're not dying anymore. That don't assume that just because people are not dying anymore, don't assume that that necessarily means that they are immortals. I contend to you that they are not dying anymore because they are partaking of the leaves of and the fruit of the tree of life, and that it produces monthly fruits. Why is that mentioned? Could it be that these folks renew their battery every month? They partake of this fruit and they keep living. They keep living, they keep living, they keep living. They keep living not by virtue of immortality, because none are made immortal at the Great White Throne. I agree with A. Enoch, but this is not a stumbling block to me, because to me, you don't have to be given immortality. Am I wrong, Judy? Am I wrong about this? This makes total sense, doesn't it? Where is she? Where is she? There. Why assume, Judy, why assume that anyone, that to not be given immortality would preclude one from continuing to live? I think she's getting it. Look, we continue to live every day somehow, and we don't have immortality, do we? No, none of us have immortality. None of us have immortality. And yet we continue to live. Why? Because we eat food, right? Judy agrees with me. Because we take care of ourselves, we exercise. We're all on probation as far as life goes, but we keep it going by, you might say, external means. We have to eat food, we have to drink water, we have to sleep. All these things are necessary. So why would it be so fantastic to say that those living on the new earth, which will be quite conducive to life, why can't they just simply keep living? Keep living. They just don't die. Because of the great weather, because God himself is living in the city, because the most amazing fruit that would exceed even the orange of today, or the watermelon. Watermelon is a great fruit, full of amazing, amazing nutrients. It's good for your prostate. You guys out there, you need help with the prostate, eat a watermelon. Pomegranates are also fantastic for this purpose. And brain power. You want to increase your brain power? Eat a grapefruit. I'm just guessing. It's got to be good for the brain. So the fruit that is going to be blossoming from the river of life in the new earth, you think this is going to be inferior to the grapefruit or the watermelon? The grapefruit and the watermelon keep us alive today. Keep these mortal bodies alive in a sicko crapo eon. that's rife with death, rife with disease, rife with problems, and still we manage to stay alive. So what is so fantastic to think that people on the new earth will also maintain their lives, but in a means far superior, in a manner far superior, thanks to this, thanks to the leaves or the fruit, they eat something. I'm going to get to that. They're eating something. It's like a vitamin pill. It's like a battery charge that keeps them going. This makes me happy. But not by reason of that do I justify it, or do I tell you that I think it's scriptural fact. It's the fact I'm doing an analysis here, all right? Not I'm analyzing Greek words. I'm analyzing the Greek connective chi. I'm analyzing the prefix kata. I'm looking at Mr. Knox's reason for putting condemned in this passage, where I believe it has no place. And to me, it's a farce to even open the Book of Life if there's nobody written in it. Nobody written in it. Tomorrow, I'm going to open the Book of Life for you. We're going to go to this passage again. We're going to open it. We're going to look at the wording of it. I'm going to quote Mr. Knock again from his book to show you something a little crazy that's going on there, I think there's a big switch in the way Mr. Knock is writing to suggest to me that he himself is not so sure about his own contention.